town tomorrow to join the Indiantown Veterans Association for their presentation at 9 a.m. I also understand, is Indian Woods at 10:30, Dick? Indian Wood, they're having a presentation as well, Memorial Day. 10:30 at Indian Wood, if you're interested in that as well. Well, as we said, Memorial Day each year, we set aside to really consider and remember those who have given their lives for our freedoms, and not just for our freedoms, but the security we enjoy and really actually the way of life that we are so privileged to have. Our lives would look very different today if it were not for someone's and many someone's paying the price. And that's what Memorial Day is geared to do and what it's all about. Now, there is some confusion at times between Memorial Day and Veterans Day. Veterans Day is in November, and Veterans Day is really geared specifically to remember those who have served their country honorably during war or peacetime. I found some interesting statistics regarding our nation's veterans, and I don't know, the one statistic that grabbed my thinking back a number of years ago, over 1 million people who have given their lives, lost their lives throughout the course of our nation's history. Can you kind of wrap your minds around 1 million people who's just like you and I, as it said there, who had dreams, who had hopes, who had families, who wanted a life and yet sacrificed their lives. Veterans in this nation, approximately 21 million military veterans in our nation. Now that's a staggering number, isn't it? 21 million. And some interesting statistics here. 16.3 or 4 million veterans served during at least one war. 5 plus million served during peacetime. Of the 21 million, 2 million veterans are women. And thankfully, there have been so many women who have served in this nation. 7 million veterans served during the Vietnam War era. 5.5 million served during the Gulf War and also the War on Terror. You know, we are so far removed, unless you have a family member who's in the service. I read an interesting statistic as well. During World War II, roughly 12% of the population had somebody who was engaged in the conflict. That means one out of every 8-point-something people had somebody directly connected to them who were involved in the service. You know what it is? Less than 1% now. Less than 1% of the population bears the burden of security for our nation and protection and the ongoing conflict that our world is faced with. 2 million veterans served during the Korean War. And of the 16 million Americans who served during World War II, about 620,000 are still alive, and we're losing those World War II veterans at an alarming number, and the days keep rolling on. In the year 2000, Congress passed a resolution. It was called the National Moment of Remembrance, which asks all American citizens to stop at 3 p.m. local time to voluntarily and informally observe in their own way a moment of remembrance and respect, pausing from whatever they are doing for a moment of silence or of listening to taps. This resolution was passed to remind Americans of the real purpose of Memorial Day and also to thank veterans for their service to our country. And I'd like to ask anybody who has served, if you're a veteran, would you stand up? We want to just give you appreciation today. Stand if you would. We're not going to make you say anything. Just stand if you would. We do this. And, you know, if you've been around here for any length of time, you realize how many are passing off the scene. I think of Mr. Wilkes and Bob Howard and others who have come to the end of their days, and they served our nation, and we're thankful for them. The real heartbeat of, I think, for us it, is to think about this sacrifice. And there's a verse that comes to mind. I actually read it every year on this Sunday, John 15:13. I'm going to ask Eddie to bring that passage up, John chapter 15 and verse 13. Jesus said this, "There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends." And that is what has been done, the sacrifice of a life. Of the 11 holidays that our nation gives thought to, Memorial Day is the most solemn, and the placing of the wreath there at Arlington. Just a quick history of where it began. It was first observed in 1868, May 30th, following the Civil War, when flowers were placed on the graves of Union and Confederate soldiers at Arlington National Cemetery. Do you know that the Civil War, that conflict, almost 500,000 people died in that conflict? Now, imagine that. The Vietnam conflict, I'm just going to give you a roundabout figure, somewhere around 58 or 59,000 of our soldiers died in that conflict. But to think about almost 500,000 combatants died in that. It touched just about every family in the nation in some way. And so they felt the necessity to remember. At that time, it was known as Decoration Day. After World War I, the day was set aside to honor those who had died in all American wars. So after World War I, it became recognized as a national holiday. You know, today we in no way attempt to glorify war. I want to read you a couple of quotes from people who were there. And I think it informs us, and we should keep it in mind. General Robert E. Lee said these words. He said, "It is well that war is so terrible, or we should grow too fond of it." And he also wrote a letter to his wife in the middle of the Civil War battle in 1862. It was Christmas Day of 1862. And he said, "What a cruel thing is war, to separate and destroy families and friends, and to mar the purest joys and happiness God has granted us in this world. To fill our hearts with hatred instead of love for our neighbors, and to devastate the fair face of this beautiful world." So he had an accurate estimation of it. And yet sometimes war is necessary. You know, Lyndon Johnson, President Johnson, said this. He wrote these words, "In modern warfare, there are no victors. There are only survivors." And that's how it turns out, just those who survive. From long ago, a theologian by the name of Augustine, St. Augustine, our city up north is named after him. He wrote this, "War and conquest are a sad necessity in the eyes of men of principle, yet it would still be more unfortunate if wrongdoers should dominate just men. Sometimes those, as much as they do not want to be faced with war, have no other choice but to defend home and defend liberty and freedom and way of life." And so we recognize that. Here's the danger that we see, and this is why, you know, I've shared with you my own awakening and enlightenment. I did not serve in the armed forces. I was a young man at the end of the Vietnam conflict. We have people in this congregation who served in Vietnam and who saw things that most of us here wouldn't even dream of seeing, and endured things. I didn't. I grew up in the 70s and went off to college. And I'll be honest with you, I've shared this before, I had little regard for what Memorial Day meant. I'll tell you what opened my eyes. It was a book written by Tom Brokaw called The Greatest Generation. And when I read those stories of young men, many of them in their 20s, who were writing letters home to sweethearts and to some to wives and to their families, and how they never made it home, I'm telling you, it got a hold of me, and it changed the course of my thinking. And so we recognize this sacrifice. Here's the danger, and why we alert ourselves to it, is that we have enjoyed peace and security to such a degree that we are often oblivious to the terror and turmoil most people in the world live with every day. Think about that. We got a taste of it from across the Atlantic with that attack in Manchester, England. You're well aware of that. And last Monday, what happened there? A suicide bomber went in to a group of young people exiting a concert, and 22 people lost their lives. You know, we have been buffered on the east and the west by large bodies of water, but you know, we are not immune to attack, and very likely, friends, we will see more. Thankfully, we have got a very vigilant security and police force that they're trying to walk a tightrope of safety for large gatherings of people and still assure us our personal freedoms that we all appreciate. Aren't you glad for freedom of assembly? You can go where you want to go. There are people not too many miles from here who've got to get permission to go travel. That wouldn't set well with most Americans, would it? I ask my wife, but she usually agrees where we want to go. But here's the danger, is that we have been secure and enjoyed it so much that we do not really consider it. You know how many ongoing wars there are right now as we gather here today in the world? There's at least 10. Full-on armed wars, and at least another 8 that are not considered wars. They call them active military conflicts. Do you know how many forcibly displaced people there are at this time? Well over 51 million people. They say on average about 32,000 people are forced from their homes every day because of these armed conflicts. And so, you know, it's just hard for us, as we sit in our security and our comfort, to even get a picture of that. President Reagan, a number of years ago, made this statement. I think it's worth repeating. I don't have to tell you how fragile this precious gift of freedom is. Every time we hear, watch, or read the news, we are reminded that liberty is a rare commodity in this world. President Eisenhower said this: a people that values its privileges above its principles soon loses both. And so the danger is that we can become so casual about our freedoms that we do not appreciate what it costs to gain them or what it costs to maintain them. And that is why we need to be reminded, and reminded regularly. You know, one thing about preaching is that you got to get over repeating things, because some things just need to be repeated. You know, my mom told me growing up to brush my teeth. I don't know how many times, but I still got too busy. I brush them now, though. So that's why we need to be reminded. Freedom is not free. Somebody, somewhere, paid the price for our freedoms. And each Sunday, this week, we take time to remember. And not just to remember, but to reflect, to think carefully and consider not just these sacrifices, but the multitude of sacrifices made on our behalf. And you know, as we do that kind of thinking, it should provoke a response. And the response should be a profound gratitude. A gratitude that really comes from deep within, where we say, thank you. Thank you to those who sacrifice so much. So what should we do this Memorial Day? First of all, appreciate the sacrifices that we've been talking about, those sacrifices made for our freedoms and our way of life. A number of years ago, I found a poem. I have no idea who this poet is. Francis Quarles is the name. But I think whoever it was nailed it on the head. I'm going to read it for you. Our God and soldiers, we alike adore when we're at the brink of danger, but not before. After deliverance, both alike requited or repaid, our God is forgotten and our soldier slighted. And that's what happens. Let me just ask you, before we get too judgmental on other people around us, how many times have we in our lives have been cruising along, sailing under our own power, and then things come unglued, and what do? We beg God for help. Anybody been there? We talked about in Sunday school class today, you know, I'm out of my depth. God, please help me. But how often does this play out? As soon as the storm is past and the seas are calm again, we've forgotten all about promises and commitments made. You know, and the same is true when we're faced with potential danger. My brother just retired about a year and a half ago from 38 and a half years of law enforcement in Dade County, Miami. Had a very interesting career and saw a lot of stuff happen in those years. The cocaine wars, the Mariel boat lift, a lot of chaos in a big city. And a big city can churn up some chaos, can't it? And, you know, I think about what he went through and all those years. I'm grateful, you know, that he made it through those years. I think oftentimes we forget, I'm not making a defense of every action of every law enforcement official. I'll tell you, my brother, and part of his career, he served in what's called internal affairs. That's where the police department investigates its own. And it was pretty rigorous. And he told me, my own ears have heard this, he said, Bruce, there are some people in uniform that have no business being in uniform. He said that the process over time generally weeds those kind of folks out. But hey, you know what, folks? We're living on planet Earth. It's not perfect. And so, you know, we recognize that things don't always go as they should. But I think I'd like to challenge our church to recognize the danger and the stress our first providers are under on a regular basis, and to factor that in when you get pulled over because you're not wearing your seatbelt, and keep it in mind. I think about that with our soldiers. You know, you and I, if you're privileged to vote, a part of a consideration of our voting is how are we treating our soldiers when they get off the battlefield? Are they just forgotten? Are we just going to hand them any kind of treatment? Or are we going to say to our elected officials, this is important, and it's important enough for me to vote on? So appreciating the sacrifices made on our behalf and not taking them for granted. You know, there's a verse, I'm not going to turn to it. Maybe Eddie can pull it up. It's just a very short phrase from Colossians. Paul is writing to some believers, and he says, and always be thankful. And I want to just ask you, are you thankful today for the sacrifice of made by people you don't even know? Names and faces that you'll never hear their name, but they laid down their lives. So what is needed? What's needed is a deep appreciation for those sacrifices made. And remembrance is the surest way to gratitude. When you and I take time to remember and to consider and to be thankful. Let us not be guilty of ingratitude in this matter. So that's the first thing, to truly appreciate and to be grateful for all of those sacrifices. Here's the second that I want to follow up, and that is this, to willingly and gladly bear the responsibilities of freedom. Someone has said, freedom is like a coin. It has the word privilege on one side and the word responsibility on the other. It does not have the word privilege on both sides. Okay? That's freedom costs something. And in order for freedom to be in existence for your children and your children's children, somebody has got to bear the responsibilities of it. Here's what someone else has said. Any nation that thinks more of its ease and comfort than its freedom will soon lose its freedom. And the ironical thing is, it will lose its ease and comfort too. Because not everybody is willing to operate on terms of respect and democracy. History should let you and I know and inform us that there are people who will gladly march right over the top of freedoms of a nation to have what they want to have, and that's generally power, control. And so we must be willing to pay the price. Now, again, we have been so far removed from any threat to our freedoms that we often are just completely unaware of what it could even look like. And so for you and I to bear up under the responsibilities of this freedom as well, and realize that freedom is not just about me doing whatever I want to do, but freedom is about me doing what I should do. And there's a big difference between that and the first option. Unfortunately, the time that you and I live in, that concept of freedom is really touted, where people basically say and they feel, I've got the freedom to do anything I want to do. I was talking with somebody this past week to make a whole jetliner sit on a tarmac for 6.5 hours because something's not the way I like it, that's where that freedom will take you. That's not the kind of freedom that we speak about. We talk about responsibility and doing what is right. Responsibility, there's freedom. We are free to do the right thing. It's a whole different concept of just, I'm free to do whatever I jolly well feel like doing. You know, and tough luck to anybody who thinks any different. And so we consider this thing of freedom. Thomas Jefferson said this, the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. And there is a cost to freedom. We're reminded today that many people, over 1 million, laid down their lives for you and I to experience this freedom. Now let's change the direction of this, and I want to speak to believers, to Christians, to people who identify as a follower of Jesus Christ. Do you know that every Sunday is Memorial Day? In fact, not just every Sunday, but every day of the week is Memorial Day. Every single day is an opportunity to remember Jesus, who sacrificed his life to give us eternal life. I want to ask Eddie to bring up this passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This is a passage that we read when we do communion. We have a communion service here. The Apostle Paul was relating here some instruction for believers. Sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. And so we are called as believers to remember the sacrifice that's been made on our behalf. And let's think about it. Jesus gave his life to provide for us freedom, freedom from sin, sin's consequences, peace. That very thing that allows us to be at rest before a holy and righteous God. and to know that we are at peace with God, and then security, to know that whatever happens, we are in His care, and His interest is towards us, freedom and peace and security. And so what is needed as we think about that? First of all, a deep appreciation for the sacrifices that have been made for us. You know, we cruise through our lives and oftentimes get so busy, so many of the things pressing in, that we forget what has been done on our behalf. We don't really consider how that our sins are forgiven and how that we have hope for eternity and we have the possibility of peace with God. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the Corinthian people, said that the sting of death is sin. The very fact that we know that our wrongs, something's going on there, and when that's paid for and taken care of, that we have peace with God, that is something that we cannot just take lightly or forget. And so remembrance is the surest path to gratitude. And I want to add this as well in closing this morning. You know, just as being a citizen in this great country has with it privileges. I mean, I had a list of the freedoms that we enjoy, and I'm not going to read them through today, but I'd like to just encourage you to think about the privileges you have. And I've said this before, this nation is not without fault. We as its citizens are not without our shortcomings. I don't know any place that is without any. Every nation in history and every nation around, we've got things we need to work on, but boy, we have got some privileges. With those privileges also come responsibility. And I want to challenge believers here as well today. Look, we're not saved by our efforts, our good deeds, our trying to do what we can as followers of Christ. That is totally a work of God's mercy and grace. Are you glad for that? I am. Because we just couldn't pull it off. It's just not going to happen. But I'll tell you what, it does not release us from taking on responsibility as followers of Jesus Christ. To understand that there are generations out ahead of us who need to hear the very thing that you and I claim is important to us. And that means responsibility. That we understand, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I've been forgiven by His mercy totally, completely. But I need to be living it out, because God's work needs to go forward, and He's counting on me, and others are counting on me to take my responsibility seriously as well. Now, I'm preaching to the choir because you're all here this morning, right? But I'm talking not just about being here this morning, but when you leave this place, that you and I don't just leave our Christian talk behind at the church, but that it goes with us wherever we happen to go. And realize, as that sign out there says, you are now entering what? Your mission field. And that's what we're talking about. Are you glad to be an American citizen? I'm thankful for it. It ain't perfect, but it's a good place to live. And there are a whole lot of people who laid down their lives for you and I to enjoy what we have. Let us commit ourselves today not only to appreciate those privileges, but also to shoulder the responsibilities that go with it. And it applies as well for the follower of Jesus Christ, to recognize what great privileges we have and benefits and blessings, but also to realize He's calling us to follow Him. And sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it is a real challenge, but it's what He wants us to do. Let's stand. We're going to close in a time of prayer and invitation. I want to thank you for coming today. And as we get ready to wrap things up this morning, I want to just ask you to consider a few things. Am I truly grateful for those many sacrifices made? And am I willing to do what I should do as a citizen of this country so that those who follow behind can enjoy some of the same privileges that we've experienced. And then this, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are greatly blessed. We don't even know how blessed we are. But I want to ask you to consider this. Hey, I've got some responsibilities as well as a follower of Christ. And God, help me to shoulder them. Give me strength to step up to the plate. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for our lives and for the blessings that we enjoy and often, too often, take for granted. Lord, I pray that as we take some time to consider what we've been talking about, what we've heard today, that our hearts, our will, Lord, would be stirred to continue on. I know that sometimes we get weary and just are tempted to let our hands drop. But Lord, give us strength. Forgive us where we need to be forgiven. Lord, help us to really reflect and consider all that we've been blessed with. And Lord, help that to inform us and motivate us for what we need to be doing. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.